This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub Nation is Moses Moody. Catch my head coach Steve Kerr with Willard and Dibbs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, in Latham? Oh, Moses Moody. Lucas pointed out a DNP last night. That's a weird relationship. I still can't get my arms around it. Sometimes he plays, it looks as though he's playing well, and then he disappears. And then at the end of the day, the last guy in the world you think that they're going to extend, they give him a contract extension. So they see value in there somewhere. But yet, how it is that they rationalize this in their mind as to how he contributes to this basketball team, I don't think I'm smart enough to ever understand. So,
well, that's why we got Kerr. So I guess you could ask him. Hopefully he could give us some answers. I think that people want to know.
No, I'm just barking now. Rest assured.
Right. When Kerr comes over, hey, Coach, hey, I love you.
How's Christmas?
How's Christmas? You're the best.
Oh, Coach.
But you have to. It's you know what? How uncomfortable it must be. You know, and he understands we have a job to do. He understands he has a job to do. But it's tough, man, because you know it and I know it. We can make Coach Kerr very uncomfortable. And it's like, you know, it's like, but that's not what this is about. It's about just kind of like, you know, asking the question and let him, people don't need to be told what to do, just ought to be reminded. And I think that's what this is about tonight. Just like, hey, ask these questions saying, what do you think? How is this? Why? And ask the why. And I think he does a great job of answering. He'll give us the answer.
I'm a big fan of his, though, in all full disclosure. I know as a coach, just like any coach, you're going to come at a criticism and ridicule. He understands that. I just, for what he stands for off the field, off the court,
he's amazing.
All right, Mike's out in Oakland. Let's get back out to the phone calls. 888-957-9570. And we'll hear from Mike and his take on what's happening with the Dubs. What's up, Mike?
So where do I start? Because there's a lot of things, so I'm going to start here. Okay, so Steve Kerr is the commander. And if the commander is not in line with the team is going to show they're out of line. So Steve Kerr has to get himself in line for one thing. The other thing I feel like, as a coach back in the day, myself, I played all my players. I wanted all my players to feel like they were part of the game because that brought good morale. It got good hustle. I was able to bring fresh guys in, take tired guys out. I just think as a team, that's what it stands for. And when somebody said to Steve Kerr, you know you're going to have to shorten your roster, and when he started doing that, that's when we started losing. And it took the fun out of the game for the players and the joy. Because if you look on the sideline, where's the joy at? Everybody's confidence is down. Nobody shoots the open shot. They're going dribble the ball in and turn it over. I mean, shoot the open shot, bruh. I mean, that's my take. And those are the reasons why they lose it. Thank you, fellas.
Do that again. Shoot the open shot, bruh.
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, listen, it's frustrating, man. I get it, but I got to tell you, though, at the beginning of the season, I mean, are we really surprised that we're here right now? I mean,
no. Everyone said that wasn't going to work long.
Yeah. What did we talk about at the beginning of the year? 12 or 13 guys, is this sustainable? As it turns out, it's not. Mm-hmm. And even before they had the early success and you looked at that roster, Buddy Hield never excited me. He is who he is at the end of the day. He can be good, but he's like any shooter in the NBA that makes his living off of hitting threes. Sometimes you're good, sometimes you're not. It just depends on, you know, what side of the pillow you woke up on. And all of those guys. I mean, I know we get excited over the new shiny toy that's Schroeder, and we got to give Mr. Schroeder some time. But Schroeder, there's a reason why you were with six different teams in the last 7 years. I mean, if there's real value there, teams aren't going to let you go. That's pretty fundamental. This is not a... We talked about sizzle the other day. Did you see any sizzle with Purdy and Tua Tagovailoa? I don't know, aside from Steph, that there's anything where I would go, there's no wow factor here. I mean, this is who they are.
Right. And no question. When you think about Steph has that pizzazz, that wow factor. We talked about it, you know, Josh Allen, you know, those type of quarterbacks. That's who Steph is. And then you have, like you said, Tua and Purdy. Not that they're bad, but they're just guys. And you got to realize there's a lot of guys in the NBA. There's not a lot of great players. And that's why Kerr said, hey, we're a good team. We're not great. He didn't say we got a bunch of great players. You've never heard him say that. When he had KD and Klay and Steph, and they were at the peak of their, you know, at the peak of their superpower, he said, we're a great team. We got great players here. He's never said it. These are good guys that he's trying to, you know, turn into players. And you got to realize, Steph is the only elite shooter. There is no elite players on that team, on that roster. I don't care how you look at it. There is no top-tier players on that roster besides Steph, you know? And that's just what it is right now.
Here's the other way to look at it. Well, I get it for what it is that he said last night, that he's still trying to settle on the rotation and you're this deep into the season. But here's the other side of that coin. Let's just say he settled on 7 to 8 guys. He's got a rotation. And you still are struggling. And you still have lost 11 and 14. What would people be clamoring then? I'll tell you what they'd be saying. It's like, you need to find a different rotation. You need to play different players. These guys obviously aren't the answer. I want to see more of fill in the blank. You need to, you know, you need to continue to search for a rotation. You need to play more guys. You need to get this guy out of the lineup. I mean, there's damned if you do, damned if you don't right now. When you don't have personnel, there's no way to sugarcoat that thing, man. And there's no way to dress that thing up and pretend you're good. You're going to get exposed one way or the other, whether you find a rotation or you don't have a rotation. Lack of talent is lack of talent.
Yeah, and you got to be careful because everyone's, oh, well, let's trade. You be careful because if you trade away the forum for guys that are just past their prime or just players that used to have sizzle and used to have names, now what'd you do? Now you got to go back, you know, you trade away those players or trade away draft picks. What does that do for you? So you just got to be careful. I know it's by the NBA, by the record, the lottery, and all that, how that works. So you just have to be careful what you're doing as the Warriors to say, what do we do? Are we all in on a restart? Do we keep Steph? Because we know, like you said, he's the golden goose. He's the cash cow. You keep him and everyone else is expendable. Everyone else, you try to say, how do we overhaul this team and keep Steph as the face? You can do that. That's not the first team NBA team that didn't do that. You think about Karl Malone and, you know, Stockton. You overhaul the team. Those guys stayed your face. There's always what you have to do. You know, Magic was past his prime. You look at Kobe, past his prime. But you always went and said, hey, look, these are guys that are the cash cow. You're going to let those guys sell the tickets, and you don't let go of those guys. And that's just how it is.
Were you ever traded?
Yeah.
Well, did you get traded?
I got traded. I was in the Jets, got traded to Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was fine with those played for Parcells.
And you didn't like New York, so you were kind of happy to go?
I was very happy, to get traded. But, it was still a great experience. And guys understand. You understand. Draymond is one of those guys who is a business guy. He understands this sport. These guys understand the NBA and sports. They understand that, hey, look, I may get traded. This may happen. Draymond knows that. You don't think Draymond's hadn't talked to his agent? What do you think? You don't think I've been in those situations where you think, I'm good. I'm going to stay here. What do you think is going to happen? Teams acquiring about. Because the Warriors are in that position now that that, hey, you might have to turn the page on, you know, on Draymond, or, you know, go get it. Because Draymond has, he has value. A team that wants his defense prowess, what he brings to the table, his IQ. He can play, you know, he can play during their all five positions. I mean, Dre can play point, he can play guard. He can, you know, he's not the greatest shooter, but he still can play. He's a great facilitator. He can play center. So you have some value in it, but you just can't miss. So I just think that you look at this, and everyone's talking about, hey, the Warriors need a championship. Steph deserves that. You don't. There's not a player that's going to make that happen. You got to say, Steph, sorry, we tried. We have to go get younger. We have to go get some players that we can build around, and you can be a part of this process because we don't want you to go anywhere.
All right, let's get back out to the phone lines. Kev's hanging out in Pleasanton. P-Town, the location, wants to fix the Warriors. What's up, Kev?
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Kev from Pleasanton that talked to Lowe about Edison. We were talking about football and DB Guru.
That part.
Ricky Whittle.
Right. Right.
Don't leave me out of the conversation when it comes to the no.
Hey, you were on point. I was surprised. You knew about Clovis.
He been down there in the bottom. Don't let him fool you. Hey, Dan been down there to the dirty. He know what's happening.
The bottom. Okay, so check it out. So, you know, I've called in before and told the guys basically. And I was a season ticket holder from Oakland, but I didn't do it when Laker made the money move over to the Peninsula side of the house because of all the corporate sponsorship filling up the seats. But anyway, that's another conversation. It's all about the money, like the other guy said, it's about the money. However, until Kerr is gone, this is going to be the same thing. You know, he's great, but Phil Jackson had to go at one point in time too, remember? So, I mean, Kerr is the smartest guy in the room, and no one can out-talk him or defeat what he has to say. The way he's playing the guys, it sucks. It's unfortunate. But Steve Kerr believes that his system is the best system. And so he's going to play fill-in guys mixed in with great guys because he thinks he can plug and play. But guess what? You're not going to win, Steve, with that. I would beat the hell out of you, Steve, because I'll double-team Steph. And Draymond's not going to score. And then depending on whatever the lineup he has, he's not putting confidence in the players to score. Last year, when Kuminga finally had enough, and Draymond, you know, kind of crapped out on us for about 15 games, we won 10 games. Why? Kuminga. Kuminga was the hottest player in the league last year and for about a month and a half. We all know that. He was the number two. Guess what position he played? The four. Guess where he played? The block. And everything ran through Kuminga. I'm not saying do that now. I'm just saying, guys, at the end of the year, and Lowe knows this, the coach sits down and does an evaluation with each one of his players. Mm. Obviously, he told Kuminga, go work on your threes, because that's all the young man does. I would never do that. I would stick him right back down in the block. I've already seen a successful pattern and run it through. And then let him make decisions to help everybody else.
Kev, let me ask you really quick. Wayne. I don't mean to cut you off, but do you think Kuminga, when you say in the block, are you talking about getting to him out of the post with his back to the hoop? Because I think, isn't he more effective facing up so he can take you off the bounce?
Okay, that's a fair question. And I think I remember you said you didn't play basketball. So what happens is in the block, if I throw it to you.
That was nice.
No, listen. Let me come down there to Fresno
and take you to school and back.
No, I'm in Pleasanton, remember?
Oh, that's right.
So listen. So if you recall those games, Kuminga had him down on the block. Coach did. When he got the ball, his turnaround moves were so quick that he can able to turn around and face, or just back the guy in and get to the free throw line, but he was always getting to the hoop because everybody says, all the announcers, he's got the quickest first step, you know, when he's down within, 5 feet of the basket. Low. Mm. I'm only going to make you, if I'm the coach, I'm going to make you successful. I know what you can't do. Let me do what you do good, which is 5 feet and in. I'm not going to have you working off season on your threes.
Right.
I'm going to put you right back into the paint where you scored all those points and you were the star of the NBA for a month and a half. All I'm saying is, guys, is Steve has a system. And that's why Bob Myers left. That's another conversation.
Question for you.
Well, we got to get to a legal ID.
Yeah, I had a question for him.
Okay, you can ask me.
Afterward? Okay,
The one thing I would say.
Get legal.
The one thing I would say to my man and Pete Down, if you want to hang out, Kev, during the legal ID, we'll get back to you. But spacing is something I got to. Spacing, Kev. You dwell on that as I do my legal ID, and then we'll come back to you, and I want to hear your answer. All right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Do we still? Oh, we lost him.
He didn't want to hang out. No. I didn't touch it.
Because my question was going to be one is this, and you can ask it, Dan. Answer Dan. So if you look at sometimes coaches, you put Steve Kerr with a team that's very, very talented. He's going to win you championships. If you don't have the talent, can he develop and can he coach? When you gave Steve Kerr all those talent, and you look who's coaching here before, they couldn't do it. But once Steve came to this and talk about spacing, move the ball, play with speed, what he did to the offense, he took them to another level. But he had the athletes and the talent to execute his plan. How much is that the same here? That maybe when you don't have the talent or you don't have the superstars, is he that type of coach?
I think that the NBA, more probably than the NFL, certainly more than baseball, it's a players' league. And he almost went, matter of fact, he was signed, sealed, and delivered to the New York Knicks. And the Warriors came in with an offer at the 25th hour. Had he signed a contract and gone to coach for the New York Knickerbockers, he would have been fired within 18 months. Why? Because they were a trash team. They had no players. And it's only until last year did the New York Knicks become a relevant team. Maybe Spoelstra in Miami and the way they do things there is a little bit different, where sometimes they'll take average players, although I wouldn't call Jimmy Butler and Hero and company average, but they squeeze the most out of their players. But more often than not, things haven't changed in the NBA. Yes, you can get the best out of your players, and I think the biggest asset for a head coach, especially in the NFL, in the NBA, but it's certainly true for the NFL, is that you have to have the respect of your players, and they got to want to play for you. And I think that he's a player's coach to a certain degree. They respect the hell out of him, but I think it all starts with there has to be something with which to work with. There's no Cinderella stories, all right? This isn't the NCAA tournament. Okay, there's no North Carolina State and Jimmy Valvano story here. You either have the boys or you don't. Now, you may have, you know, a different system, and you get the most out of your players, and you're freeing guys up, and they like playing for you, create a good culture, as they like to say. But I don't believe in miracles when it comes to the NBA. That's just sort of my quick answer. All right, Guillermo's hanging out in Menlo Park. Guillermo, what's going on, man?
Taking my call. Yeah, I just want to make an observation. I think we knew that what the problems was with the Warriors. I think we should have someone, a good blocker, center. Putting in consideration all the teams, they have a good center. And thinking that Raymond is going to continue dealing with all the big guys the other team has is a crazy idea. He's getting tired. I believe that we have a great team. We just need to add a good center that can block some shots. If you remember what happened with the game with the Pacers, there was a player in the last quarter. She scored the same over the ring, like a 6-point, and no one was able to block the shot. I think his name is McCullough. I don't know if you guys remember what happened in that game.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I would say, because you're not alone there, Guillermo, a lot of people, when you look at the Warriors, they're like, you've been small for so long, but they've won without centers. And I know Bogut certainly was a big, and you know, the Festus Azilis of the world and the Pachulias, but this is not a team that's ever been center-centric.
No.
And Draymond's been able to do it. But I would, to your point, and to a lot of people out there that feel very similarly, that the NBA is cyclical, and you're beginning to see the return of the big. And teams that are good now in the NBA that win titles usually have a serviceable big man that can rim protect and give you some presence on the interior, and the Warriors have never had that. But, I mean, if you were to look at when we talk about their championship run, I mean, they've been able to do it without that big guy. All right, Jay's hanging out in his driveway. What's going on, Jay, and why are you in a driveway?
Because I don't want to smoke inside.
Oh, well, that's – I'm assuming you don't live alone.
Well, I have a renter.
Okay.
And, yeah, yeah.
And when you say smoke –
Hey, low.
What up, baby? Jay.
Hey. Hey, man, I just want to say this one thing, all right? I played fullback. I wasn't even close to your talent, but I had your mentality, bro.
Got it. That's it.
Cheers to you.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. You already know that
Cheers
mentality,
you,
brother.
Bro.
Thank you. Cheers.
No, I remember seeing you out there, man. I was like, that's a devastating man.
Mm.
All right. So what I want to say about the Warriors, man, the Warriors front office, the Warriors, and all the Warriors fans, we all got to understand that panic mode is going down right now. And moves need to be made, all right? Steph Curry, awesome. Everyone knows this. All the championships, awesome. Everyone knows this. But we are at the point. We are at the point where we need to understand that Bill Walsh is in the building, and it's time to break it up and think about the future. It sucks. Everything about it sucks. We have to make the changes. And that's all I want to say.
Pass that along in the driveway. Let me get it here, Jay. Come on, Jay. Don't bogart that thing. Oh, Jay, I'm just giving you grief. I don't know what the hell he just said. I heard Bill Walsh.
Yeah, Bill Walsh is in the building. I think he was alluding to, hey, look, everyone's in panic mode. It's time to poop, turn the page. He's like, hey, Joe Montana, they had to turn the page. Only thing that I ask him, but who do you turn the page to? Like you and I keep alluding to. Who do you turn it to? I understand you're saying, okay, let's move on. What are you moving on? What assets do you have that can make this team relevant? And that's what that's the thing that I don't understand. And I don't understand people saying, turn the page, get better, do these things. But what are you giving up? How much can you get? And what does that look like?
They love you, Lo. That's all I got to say. 925 is coming in with that damn Lo brought up anybody day. I mean, we got more callers that just, seriously.
Your boy used to be out there, man. Hey. I played the game. And I think that's what people respect. Do I know baseball and basketball? No, but I know the mentality. I know what it takes to win. And that's what I can relate to. And I think that's what people understand. Hey, look, I can't sit there and talk X's and O's and talk about, you know, get down in the box and 2-2-1-2 defense, box and one, and do all those things. I play a little basketball, but I'm not knowledgeable of that baseball warp and all. It's about mentality. Sports come down to mentality. If you work, and even if you don't, you're not the best player. Andrew Bogut wasn't great. Well, you know what made Andrew Bogut was great about him? His personality, his attitude, and his willingness, and his commitment, and the dog in him. He couldn't necessarily do those things, but you knew what you were going to get. That's what's so frustrating, you know, about Kuminga, is because of the fact you're saying, okay, where's that effort? Bogut could, I mean, he wasn't that type of guy, but you saw certain guys, the effort and the energy and how they played, it made up for the lack of ability athletically.
By the way, would they drug test for marijuana? I mean, I'm sorry. Going back to Jay and his
In NFL.
Was that ever a drug of choice in the NFL? Well, I mean, if you guys went out, I mean, guys, you know, they like to smoke their pot from time to time, or were guys, was it alcohol? What was?
I'll tell you what, I don't know, it's telling on guys.
Yeah, but, I mean, you don't have
but,
to.
But
do
I'm not going to name guys, wouldn't do that, but I'm going to tell you right now, for guys to get caught smoking weed, in getting this program, you have to be pretty much an idiot. Because here's the reason why. You go to camp and they don't test you during the year. They usually don't test you during the year. So right before camp, like 6 weeks before, or you're in training camp, right before your training camp or during training camp, you get tested. test you for everything. Once you get tested, if you're clean, guys can smoke pot all year long. They won't get tested for pot. Now, what you get randomly tested for that you can't do, I don't think guys can get away with it. It's no way. I think it's possible, but not probable. You would have to be like a needle in a haystack. It's steroids and those things. Because with steroids, it's random. So I got tested one time, 5-7 times in a row. They randomly put you in a computer and they spit out the names and you got to pee for them, on Monday after the game, right after the game, 24 hours after the game, you got to go and pee. And so steroids, it's hard. Guys can't do steroids or those stuff in the league because you are tested. Now, weed, when guys, you hear people get popped for weed, bro, and then the program, that means you only got tested one time and you knew the test was coming. What the hell are you doing?
Smoking weed?
Yeah, but that's the point that I'm saying. Once you get past that one, guys could smoke. So it was kind of weird when I seen guys get popped in the program because you only get tested the one time, then you can smoke all you want.
Well, now I think I'm not sure if the NFL as much, but certainly the NBA, Major League Baseball, sort of loosen the reins and all of that when it comes to marijuana. It's especially with the legalization over the last couple of years. I don't think that the penalties are as harsh, nor is the sort of structure in terms of doing it throughout the course of a season. All right, we're talking about the San Francisco 49ers, we're talking about the Golden State Warriors.
Niners on the brain. You got Niners on the brain.
Yeah, well, no, he went Bill Walsh there for a moment, and I was thinking about the good old Bill Walsh days, but just talking about the Golden State Warriors. By the way, Steve Kerr is going to join us in a matter of a little more than 15 minutes. We'll hear from the head coach of the Warriors. But before we do that, can I finally sneak in? Because I don't think I'm going to have an opportunity to talk to the Kansas City Chiefs.
We got to go. We got to.
Just for 5 minutes.
And wait, you got listen. It.
So Kansas City wins on Christmas Day. And remember the one knock that we were saying, well, they're not blowing people out. It's getting all fluke. Well, it's not a bad call or a block kick. We're talking about a team now that looks as though they're putting into that other gear. And there's two things I want to ask you. Is that Kansas City now gets the number one seed, so they get a month off. But there's two schools of thought there. I want to know what side of the fence you fall on. Is having that much time off, do you lose your edge? Because they're playing their best football right now, despite the fact they've only lost once in the calendar year, going back to last Christmas when they got beat by the Raiders. But it's a month off.
And they should have lost to the Raiders this year.
Could that be the worst thing for this team right now?
No. I think it's the best. Okay. I think it's the best thing. You watch Kansas City. The other day, you and I talked, and I said, everyone's like, oh, someone's going to beat them. Someone's going to beat them. They just got Hollywood Brown back. And what he does, stretching the field, vertical, with Isaiah, the kid out of Fresno, shout out,
Worthy.
Central High School, Worthy. You have speed, a vertical. You see Kelce now, even more prevalent now. Where's he been? And look at Kelce. Everyone's like, where's Travis lost it? Look how he was, because you brought in Hollywood, all these guys, he just got back. Now your offense has spread out, and Mahomes is delivering. That's what you and I are talking about. If you can get to 24, you can beat them. Now the machine is back. Pittsburgh's got a good defense. They just slapped on them. They just beat up on them. I'm telling you, Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to be a tough out. Steelers, I thought the Steelers would give them way more of a test than that. And they did
it. They had everything to play for. That was a bad performance for the Steelers.
Everything. Bad performance. But I'm going to tell you, I still, Buffalo still gives you some hope because they're running the ball well. But maybe Baltimore, because when you watch Lamar Jackson, I mean, you look at his numbers and the way that they're able to run the ball. I don't think Derrick Henry carried the ball, I think, 7 or 8 times the first time they played Kansas City. Derrick Henry, they didn't even give him the ball, and they barely lost. Toe tap, scored that touchdown, was out of bounds. So Baltimore is heating up at the right time, too. So I don't know. Somebody's got to beat Kansas City. I don't want to see Kansas City, but I'm telling you, like you said, they're a tough out. They're getting it together. Their defense is playing lights out, and now you got your receiving core back, and they look like they're getting ready to score, and they're just sitting full stride.
925 wants you to run for mayor of Oakland or Fresno. Would you ever consider getting into politics?
No, man, because it's just politics,
man. Skeletons in the closet?
Yeah, and you just never want to be dirty. It's just politicians, all man. Right. You got to realize they start off wanting to help. They really want to help. And just big people come in and just it skews your train of thought. So many things happen. I love it, and I wish that these mayors and these individuals really work for the people. But our government, I just pray for them. But it's tough to be in politics, man. It really is.
Wow, that's a good answer. So here's the other question when it comes to the NFL. You mentioned Lamar Jackson. Who's your MVP?
You know what? I'm tired of seeing Lamar because this would be third time or fourth time. I would say Josh Allen because he's
the odds-on favorite. But Vegas has him as a clear favorite. I'm just saying, did anybody see what the hell Lamar Jackson did yesterday?
Lamar Jackson has thrown for more yards. Pull it up. Lamar Jackson has more rushing yards. Lamar Jackson has thrown for more touchdowns. Lamar Jackson
and his quarterback rating is off the charts. So I
like Josh, and I think I'd give it to Josh because he doesn't have the weapons Lamar has. But if you look at Lamar Jackson's numbers, touchdown, rushing, everything, his numbers are better. Yeah. His numbers say MVP. I'm just telling you. But only reason I'm saying Josh is because Josh, to me, has done it with less, and Lamar has done it with more.
Well, speaking of doing it with less, why doesn't Patrick Mahomes get any votes? I mean, if it's about MVP, the true definition of MVP, this guy has no offensive line because they've been banged up. He's dealt with, you know, now it's Hunt that's getting the ball because Pacheco's been out. You're talking about wide receivers. Hollywood Brown finally returns this football team. But this guy, I mean,
Lamar Jackson has more MVPs than him.
Yeah.
And that it's hard. That's the part that's just like, okay, how can Lamar Jackson have more MVPs than Mahomes?
Lamar Jackson has got it. He's got to get to that Super Bowl. Like, he can't get them happy feet in a championship game again.
And Mahomes beats him every time they head up, and there are times when it means something, Mahomes beats him.
The other thing before we get off the NFL is we talk about Pittsburgh for a second. I like Tomlin. I know you love Tomlin, but he does this a lot. Like, he'll put up some big numbers in the regular season, but when it comes to this time, because it's all about how you're playing right now. I mean, I don't care what you did in September and August. It's right now. Who's hit their stride? And they're leaking oil, man.
They are.
And he's not. Since Roethlisberger left, I mean, I don't know I don't think he's won a playoff game.
Yeah. And that's the thing would be, the difference is this. If you look at Tomlin, they don't have a quarterback. So if you talk about the coaches, Harbaugh, how many playoffs, how many Super Bowls has he been to compared to Tomlin? Tomlin got him. You think about any coach in the AFC, the only one who has him would probably be, you know, and he's got everyone, that's Andy Reid. But how many did Andy Reid have when he didn't have a quarterback? Now you look at who Andy Reid has a quarterback. You look at Tomlin, who he has a quarterback. He has a quarterback that's way past his prime, that won with the Legion of Doom, who won the Super Bowl, not really their offense. He's got playing with, you know, Russell Wilson. So I think that Russ is limited. I don't think that I thought Russ was having a decent year. The guy turns over the ball. He turns the ball over way too much.
Who's that?
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, well,
he's turning the ball over way too much. He's not an elite quarterback any longer. He's a manageable quarterback. But, you know, you watch the game. They're going in to tie that game up. He throws interception on the goal line. He fumbles. I'm not off of Tomlin. I think if Tomlin had a top-tier quarterback or a guy, where would they be? Because they play pretty good defense.
Well, that gets back to when you were asking me about Steve Kerr and can you make something out of nothing? And I think that's not that Steelers don't have boys. I mean, TJ Watt's for real. And you know
that's why they compete.
Yeah. But their defense and the buy-in to what he gets the most out of it. If you're talking about a coach that there's a cause and effect and an impact on a team, it's Tomlin. Like, Tomlin is the reason why the Steelers are
very relevant.
And it's him. And so, I mean, I hear some people say that he's overrated, but he's just got to, like, you got to do it now, though, this time of the year.
You, like, put him in Dallas and get him some weapon, like those, and you change the ore. I mean, here's the deal. You let Tomlin go, he would have 15 coaching jobs.
Yeah.
That's the kind, I mean, you got to realize, you think about, this guy has not missed the playoffs in probably 8-9 years. He's very never had a down. I mean, one out of the last 10 years, I think he missed it maybe once. So
never had a losing season.
I mean, so there's a coach that, like you said, he gets the best out of those guys.
All right, are we done with NFL talk?
Yeah, but Kansas City, they just, you like you said, they're getting ready to hit their stride. Just when we thought they were out, now all of a sudden they're scoring. They can do it all. They look for real.
And they've got They've got a whole month off. A whole month off this time of the year. What is that? Because you hear stuff like that. But somebody who's played in the league, to get a month off this time of the year, how significant is that?
It's huge. The body, now you got to talk about an ankle from your quarterback, MVP. He's going to get his ankle right.
Well, Chris Jones didn't play in the last game.
Chris Jones get to get healthy. Now you're in a situation where you're going to come in the playoffs, and you have home field throughout the playoffs. You're talking about a team that is going to get dangerous. And they just know how, now they're getting ready to turn it on, like you just alluded to. They're going to be a tough out. And I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. Look for them. They are pulling. They are hoping and praying. I wouldn't be surprised if they let Denver win. They're going to let Denver win. There's one team, I keep telling you, me and you talk about it, in the AFC that teams don't want to make the playoffs. They do not want to see friggin' the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow in the playoffs. Pull up Joe Burrow's name. Joe Burrow is having a MVP. You're talking about who's another guy? Joe Burrow should be mentioned in the MVP. Mm. Go look at Joe Burrow's numbers, what he's been doing. Lucas, is Joe Burrow's in there? When you think about Joe Burrow's numbers and what he's done with the weak team, not having a great defense, not having weak sauce, nobody wants to see Cincinnati
terrible
Bengals.
Terrible offensive line.
Terrible. Horrible. They don't want to see Joey Burrow's get in the playoffs. So I think Kansas City, they're going to choke. They're going to we don't want to see him.
I know, I hear you, but you know why? Who's the one guy that's beaten them at KC?
Joe
Burrow went in there and said, I do not care.
Joe Cool.
I mean, that's the one guy that took on Mahomes and Reed and everything that you mentioned.
And go head-to-head. And look at his numbers. This dude, he's got numbers. It's not that he's just like, oh, Joe Burrow's, they haven't been playing well. Joe Burrow's have put up numbers this year. If they got in the playoffs, I would almost say you got to give it to him because he's done it with not a good defense, not a good offensive line. Done it with less.
But it's a team that, I mean, you're going to need Denver to win that game or to lose that game against Kansas City.
Denver's going to lose because,
Carson Wentz is going to, so Carson Wentz gets the start, right?
Yeah, Kansas City's going to lose that game. Kansas City's not going to, because they're going to say, Kansas City's going to say, let's keep Denver in the playoffs. Every team in the AFC that's in the playoffs, do you think they'd rather see Denver in the playoffs or do you think they'd rather see freaking Cincinnati Bengals in the playoffs? Every team rather see Denver Broncos in the playoffs instead of seeing Joe Burrow, who's been there, who's been, who's been to a Super Bowl and freaking could almost beat the Rams. So AFC does not want to see Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow get in the playoffs.
You out on Bo Nix?
Now, Bo Nix is playing well, but watch what happens. Now, watch what happens Sunday. Watch what Joe Burrow's do to this. Watch what Joe Burrow's do to Denver Broncos. He's going to take them to the woodshed.
All right. We want to get back into some Golden State Warrior talk just to sort of lead into Steve Kerr is going to join us coming up at 5:30 as the Golden State Warriors, who have lost 11 of 14 after the 12-3 start. He's going to join us in a matter of moments. You played a little bit in high school, right?
Oh, yeah. Your boy had a nice little jade. You know how to back you down.
Did you get any offers?
For basketball?
Yeah, no.
No. I did. You got to realize.
Was Tark at Fresno State when you were? No.
Oh, yeah. Tark was there. Tark wasn't there. You got to realize, though, when I played, you got to realize I was California State champion. I was 42-0 with 38 pins in my senior year.
Oh.
I was California Athlete of the Year. I played, I did football. I did wrestling. I did track and field. They had Janet Evans. You know who Janet Evans is?
Yeah, the swimmer.
The swimmer. And you know who Michael Chang is?
Tennis player.
You know who Curtis Conway is?
Wide receiver USC.
Yeah, you know who Willie McGinnis. So you have to realize, it said, in 1989, it said, Janet's the queen and Lorenzo's the king. I was California male athlete of the year. Give me another whoop. Yes, your boy. You be doubting on me, B. Doubting on me, Dan. Doubting on me.
I'm doubting on you, man. I love you. So does the text line. All right, we also love Steve Kerr. He's going to be coming up in a matter of moments. We'll talk to the head coach of the Golden State Warriors and find out how he thinks the Warriors need to fix things after that huge, huge, disappointing, frustrating loss at the hands of the Los Angeles Lakers on Christmas Day. We'll do that and much more. It's Lorenzo Neal and Stan Devone with Steve Kerr next on 95.7 The Game.